How would you like to wake up and have no doubt? Makes a difference when you don't have any doubt. You can praise God with joy when you don't have any doubt. If you're going to sit here and listen to the word and doubt, then you're not going to get up like that. You're not going to ever be affected like that. As long as you keep doubting God, you're going to keep that long face. As long as you keep doubting God, you're going to keep that melancholy attitude. As long as you keep doubting God, you're going to get old before your time. Because they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Even young men shall faint. I've lived long enough to watch it happen. Can you say, man, I'm seeing young people throw in the towel. Young people with their life before them get melancholy and depressed and down in the dumps. And when you doubt, it gives way to fear. And when it gives way to fear, fear hath torment. But perfect love cast out all fear. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen? I understand doubt. I fight battles with doubt. But we win these battles because Jesus is still Lord. And if we can get our focus back on Him, faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of the Lord. Not having heard, but hearing. It's a constant. Sometimes we cover ground we've already covered because faith doesn't come by something you hear, you get to the next level, you forget all you've heard. No, faith comes by consistently hearing. And not just hearing with the natural ear, but hearing with the heart. The Bible said, he that hath an ear, the capability of hearing God, not just a preacher preach or reading a book called the Bible, but hearing God speak to you. He that hath an ear, to hear that, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Everything in this Bible is called Logos, L-O-G-O-S. It is the written word. It is holy, infallible, amen, indisputable. It's God's word. This word that's written in this book is going to stand when this world isn't anymore. Can you say amen? But this word in this book will not bring faith until it gets into your heart and into my heart. Amen? When it begins to move off the page and into your heart, and you see it with a revelation, and you feel it with a realization of the reality of that truth, it becomes a rhema word. It's something entirely different. It has to jump off the page and get on you and get down inside of you. Can you say amen? And if it ever finds a good ground heart, it bringeth forth fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold to the glory of God. Your answer's right here in the book today. God has already addressed everything you're facing. God has already addressed through His person and His promise everything that you need. And God has addressed your need for faith. And God has addressed our battle with doubt. Hallelujah. And God has addressed our battle with fear right here. If this word ever gets in your heart, you'll look at your circumstances differently. Amen. If this word ever gets into your heart, amen, you will not question God even though time is passing and it looks like no answer is coming. If the word ever gets into your heart, you won't be moved by what you feel, but what you know. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If I knew that I was rich this morning, it wouldn't matter if I got up and felt poor. I'd write that check anyhow. I'd drive that car anyhow. Oh, you don't know what I'm talking about. I said it doesn't matter how I feel if I knew it. If you knew you were rich and you got up and felt poor, but you realize, wait a minute, someone just deposited $50 million in my bank account. I don't care how I feel. Going shopping anyway. It's what you know. But if your knowledge is coming by your feelings and what you see with your natural eye, then you're never going to get out of that dilemma. And God wants to bring us out of that. He wants us to get a faith that sees the invisible. Amen. That believes the incredible and receives the impossible. Say it with me. Sees the invisible. Believes the incredible. And receives the impossible. Well, what kind of faith is that? It's a faith that comes by hearing, not by seeing. Hallelujah. And hearing by the Word of God. For the Word of God is quick. It's alive. down in Miami, there used to be some, back in the hippie days, there were street ministers, and they were hippies ministering to hippies in Miami. And they couldn't get people's attention when they stood up and sung a gospel song or opened up a Bible. People ran from them. So they got a big old burlap sack, and they put something down in that burlap sack to make it look like there was something big in it. They took that burlap sack, and they got about five of them together, and one of them opened it up, and the others went, "It's alive! It's alive! It's alive!" And then one of them, when a crowd would gather to see what was in the sack, they'd reach in and pull out the Bible. Because it's quick and powerful and sharper. Oh, yeah, by then they kind of had them hooked to say, if these people are that crazy, let's hear what they have to say. And they said, it is alive. This is the living Word of God. And though we were dead in trespasses and sins, God's Word can bring a faith in Christ that can give us life. Can you say, man, that you can really live? Hallelujah. This Word is alive. Large portions of the church is dead. Just dead and doubtful. How did you wake up this morning? With a Bible that's so full of life. With a God that is so faithful. With a Word that is so true and infallible. How did you wake up this morning? If I was there when you woke up and saw you waking up, I mean, sometimes it's rough enough seeing you now. With your game face on, can you say amen? Hallelujah. But what about it when you woke up this morning? You can't wait and give the devil an opportunity. You got to wake up with your mind made up. We used to sing that song, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Can you say amen? The Bible said He will keep them. He will keep them in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee, because they trust in You. He will keep them in what kind of peace? Perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on You. The only way your mind will be stayed on Him is to keep your focus in the Word of God, not in CNN, NBC, MSNBC, they're going to report to you what's going on in the world. The Word of God is going to report to you what's going on in His kingdom. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I feel like a reporter this morning. I feel like a newsman. I feel like that I'm going to give you a report of what's going on in the kingdom of God. Amen. There's still a king on the throne in this kingdom. Somebody say there's a king on the throne. God is still on the throne. Amen. I know sometimes it feels like heaven is brass, but you've got to get past those feelings. You can't let that move you. The Bible said, while we look not at the things which are seen, for they are temporal. That means they are subject to change. How many has found out that one day can change circumstances in your life? One day can turn everything from black to white, from white to black, from daylight to dark. One day can pivot and turn and change everything. Somebody's going to get up this morning. They're going to start shaving like my son did. He got up, as other times, he began to shave. This is about 4 years ago. He got up and began to shave. And he couldn't feel his face on this side. This is my son in his early 40s then. He began to shave and couldn't feel his face on the left side. That day, it changed. His plans changed for that day. Everything that was on the agenda changed because this event occurred while he was shaving. And he realized that he was becoming numb. And he realized that something was happening. And suddenly, his schedule changed. Isn't that amazing? It can change. Your schedule can change. You think it can't change. You think there's no time for God, or God's house, or God's people, or God's worship, or God's praise. But that can be changed. Amen? He changed his. You wake up with a light stroke, it'll change your day. It'll change your schedule. You will rearrange your priorities on that day. Can you say amen? Christ will become more relevant on that day. God's Word will be something you want to get a hold of and hang on to. The Bible said we need to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. Can you say, man, we don't pay attention like we should. We don't give heed like we should. I really don't have anything to tell you that you don't know. I'm challenging you, amen, to put into practice what you know. Amen, to put it on the top shelf of your life. You're going to need that faith. You're going to need this joy. You're going to need this peace that He promises you. You're going to need this help. You're going to need this healing. You're going to need this deliverance. Can you say amen? And you're not going to get it with the busyness of life. And you're not going to get it with worry and fear. You're going to get it when you rise up and lay hold on Him who made you those wonderful promises. Can you say amen? Not just lay hold on the promise. Lay hold on Him that gave you the promise. My faith is not in promises. My faith is in a person who promised me. Can you say amen? The promise can be shaken. Satan will tear that thing out of your hands and your heart unless your faith is in the person who made it. But if you believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. I don't know about you, but when trouble comes, I get diligent. Nothing like trouble to make you diligent. Nothing like trouble to make you find time. Trouble will cause you to make time for God. Can you say amen? That God that you're too busy to seek suddenly becomes a God that is more relevant than anything or anyone in the world. A little wake-up call to my son was when he began to shave and couldn't feel his face. And he said, I'm too young. You go, no, I'm sorry about that, Chief. You're never too young to have an event. Can you say amen? It can happen to you. It can happen to me. It can happen to a baby in a crib. It can happen to a teenager. It can happen to anybody. This world, as the old song said, is filled with swift transition. Nothing of this old world can stand. Got my old dog up this morning. She gets up every day like I ask her to. She's going outside. She, you know, she's a good girl. She walks out into the front yard and flops over. Well, her day just changed. All her plans for today just changed. Some of our plans for this morning changed when I had to get her in a blanket and drag her around into the shade and give her some water, tell her everything's going to be all right. Because it is going to be all right. Amen. But she's a good old girl. Now I'm going to tell you straight up, it hurts me to watch her, let alone a person, but to watch her coming down to the end of the journey and being too weak to stand and needing comfort. And I see that in an animal. My heart goes out. But there are people hurting today. There are people, amen, that the devil is afflicting. The church isn't a church filled with victory. You don't hear the joyful sound. You hear the mourning. You see the blank faces. You see the stare that says, I'm troubled. And I don't have an answer. And I know Christ. And I've been in church for years. And I've got a big old Bible at home. It's pretty, isn't it? The family Bible. That big book sitting on the coffee table when the preacher comes. It's the centerpiece. True story, pastor told it. Went to a house and they were been Christians about a year and anyway went to the house and he said he went in and he sat down in the kitchen. Actually, they had one of these eat-in kitchens and he sat down in there and they were serving him coffee and something sweet to eat with it. And they told their son, they said, Johnny, go in the living room and get that big book that mommy and daddy are always reading. And he ran into the living room and came back with the Sears catalog. They had put that big family Bible out, but Johnny said, that's a new book. I don't see that book. It's underneath, well, with newspapers on top of it. But that Sears catalog is sitting right there on that coffee table. Can you say amen? Listen, we need to get back in the book that God said is His word. That is what? It's quick. Everybody say it's alive. That's the word for alive in the Greek. It's quick and it's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It is the only book in the world that fits this criteria, this profile. It divides asunder. It separates between flesh and spirit. This is not for your flesh. This is not for your natural mind. This is for your spirit. This is for your soul. Hallelujah. You talk about soul food. Get in a Bible-believing church. Get in a Bible-preaching church. Get in a Bible-teaching church. And get some soul food this morning. Amen. I'd rather have collard greens and biscuits and cornbread and a big glass of tea than champagne and caviar. That ain't eating good. You eat the fish eggs on crackers. Give me the fish with us puppies. Hallelujah. I'm not interested in, oh, you drink the champagne and give me a big glass of iced tea with lots of sugar. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Listen, it's fun living right. Somebody said there ain't nothing wrong with living right. Hallelujah. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. The only way to have an established heart is get in that Word and stay in it. Can you say amen? Get up in the morning with no doubt God's going to see you through whatever you face that day. Don't wait until the event happens. Get it in your heart before it happens. So when it happens, faith is already alive. Hallelujah. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Martin Luther said, I had battles with doubt. The early years of my whole ministry, I had battles with doubt. Many of the great ministers of old had battles with this thing called doubt. Can you say amen? And it troubled them deeply. They were not only discouraged in the Lord, but they were discouraged in themselves that they were not trusting God as they should or could. And D.L. Moody, no, I'm sorry, it was Moody. It was Moody, not Martin Luther. It was D.L. Moody. And Moody said, no matter how hard I tried, I would hit these dead ends in my spiritual walk, and I would get into these struggles with doubt, and then it would not only defeat me, but it would discourage me and bring me down. He said, then one day as I was studying the Scripture, I read where faith comes by hearing. Listen, Moody said, I prayed for faith, and I sought God for faith, and I asked God for faith, and faith did not come. Because faith doesn't come by praying for it. Faith doesn't come by wishing for it. Faith doesn't come by asking for it. Faith comes one way. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. The day you decide the Word of God is going to be the final authority. And the day you decide to let God be true and every man, including yourself, become the liar. If my feelings contradict what God has said, let God be the one that wins that day. Not me who doubts, not me who fears, not me who questions, but God who cannot lie. Can you say amen? And let that reality lift me up. Amen? How shall they see faith to even get saved? How does it come? How shall they believe upon Him of whom they have never... Didn't I tell you it comes by hearing? How shall they believe upon Him of whom they have never heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? Hallelujah. And how shall he go except he be sent? And I'm not just talking about enough money to stay on the field or to go to the mission field or amen. No, I'm talking about a God who appoints and anoints and sends messengers. Can you say amen? In Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1, amen, Isaiah walked into the temple. He said it in the year that King Uzziah died. I went into the temple to worship and whoa, I saw the Lord high and lifted up and His train filled the temple. And I saw the seraphim that minister in the presence of God. They had three sets of wings in His holy presence. Amen. Two sets of them were to cover themselves. Amen. Even angels, they covered their face. They had to cover their feet. And with twain, they did fly and move about. First thing that hit him was, I'm not worthy to be standing here in this presence. He said, woe is me. This is the handpicked man of God. But he said, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. Someone say, tell me about it. Amen. Let's do a little test about this week and see if that old flesh don't get that tongue going. Amen. Before the week is out. Let no corrupt communication. Off-color jokes, off-color talking, vengeful talking, just complaining all week long instead of praising God. Don't let any corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Give yourself a test right now. Amen. Mike won't grade you on this because he has to take the test too. Even the professor has to take this test. Can you say amen? It's the test of the tongue. Everybody say TT. It's the tongue test. Let nothing, listen, whatsoever is not of faith, what is it? It's what? If it's not of faith, what is it? It's sin. We need to start treating it as what God calls it. He said when you talk that doubt and fear, it's sin. Because you are ascribing to me unfaithfulness. You're ascribing to my word that it is in error. Amen. You're literally saying God isn't faithful. The word of God isn't true. And that's sin. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that is good for edifying. You say, well, I didn't talk to anybody. Talk to yourself. Build yourself up on your most holy faith. Encourage yourself. David did it without the Holy Ghost. He said, soul, why art thou cast down within me? What is wrong with you today? I'm so sick and tired of being sick. Amen. You got to get sick and tired of it at some point. Soul, why are you cast down within me? Hope thou in God. For he shall yet be the health of thy countenance. You know what that means? He'll turn that frown into a smile. He'll turn that melancholy attitude into a joyous, amen, anticipation. It's called hope in the scripture. Hope in God. The glad, say it with me, the glad anticipation of future good. Say it with me again, the glad anticipation of future good. The world knows how to express gladness when things go right. The church need to express gladness even when things are going wrong because we serve a God who can turn that around and make it right. Can you say amen? Well, all things, for we know. Say it with me, for we know. For we know. It's not, you can't just quote the scripture until it becomes personal, experiential knowledge. For we know. How do we know that? The Word of God declares it. The Word of God discloses it. The Word of God reveals it. For we know. Say it with me again. We know. If you knew you had $1 million in the bank, would you not pay your light bill? Would you not have enough faith in what you know you got to write a check on it? If it was in Bank of America and you had a Bank of America checkbook and you looked at the balance and it said $1 million, would you let your tires go bald? If you were a millionaire driving an old beat-up truck that had to be jumped off with bald tires and no air conditioner, I would say, what is wrong with you? Well, my old truck's got bald tires. It won't crank up no more. And I don't know. The air don't work. It won't crank up. The tires are bald. Well, wait a minute. You're a millionaire. Excuse me. If you want me to feel sorry for you, I do not. Write a check, man. Write a check. Don't live like that with money in the bank. If you're broke, I understand it. Been there, done that, doing that a lot. But if you got money in the bank and you won't write a check, I have no pity for you. I'm sorry. No millionaire going to drive up in his Porsche. His Bentley. His Escalade. I heard of an ex-NFL guy speak Thursday at a pastor's meeting. And he was with the NFL for 2 years. Very good. Then he got a shoulder injury. Guess what happens when you get a shoulder injury? Everything changes. Listen, you're living the life of an NFL player with a great future, big contracts coming, and you get a shoulder injury that just will not heal. And guess what? He said, NFL used to mean to me National Football League, and now it means not for long. He said, I had a Cadillac Escalade. He said, with the big wheels. You know where the wheels cost more than my truck cost out there. Amen. I'm serious. You get them big chrome wheels. I mean the real chrome wheels. They sell them with big insurance policies because they're afraid people are going to steal them. You've got to insure your wheels. Don't worry about the car. The wheels. He said, I had a Cadillac Escalade. And after my unemployment run out, he said, I was at Walmart pulling in my Escalade. Things can change, folks. We need a faith that can carry us through when things change. He said, I drove in my Escalade and parked by my boss with his new Ford Taurus that he thought was so shiny and nice until I pulled up in my Escalade. He said, I'm making way less than $10 an hour for Walmart. Ex-NFL. He said, my wife was living the life of a football wife. You don't worry about your budget when you buy groceries, when your husband is an NFL player. You don't worry about your rent. You don't worry about your light bill. But now my wife is working two jobs. And he said, I took the truck back to the dealership because I owed on it. I took it back to the dealership and said, here, I don't want it anymore. I need something that gets gas mileage. I need something with a lower payment. They said, no, buddy, that's your truck. That's right. We don't want it back. That's your truck. He said, I wouldn't even drive it over 40 miles an hour. He said, because, boy, you start hitting around 50, that gas gauge goes right on down. He said, there I am, like a little old man, driving my Escalade, watching that gas gauge, hoping I got enough to get through the week, amen, so I could put some more gas in that bad boy. And in other words, a point came when the Escalade didn't mean anything, when all that other stuff didn't mean anything, when you're just glad to have a roof over your head. You're glad to have enough money for food on the table, and you're glad to have Jesus in your heart. Can you say amen? Everybody say Jesus in your heart. Hallelujah. Amen. If you got Jesus in your heart, you can get through anything. If you got Jesus in your heart, amen, you can go through anything. If you got Jesus in your heart, you get up with hope in your heart. Amen. For he hath said, I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. No matter what else changes, I'm the Lord God of Israel, and I change not. Can you say amen? If you're not going to believe the word of God, what are you doing in church? Why didn't you get up and leave after the singing was over? What are you sitting here for right now? If you're not going to take it to heart, Satan is going to still beat on you. You're going to come back next week beat up, bloodied and bruised. And wonder why you can't sing a victory song. Pretty obvious to me. If you don't have victory, you can't sing about it. Oh, you can mouth the words, but they're meaningless. God wants to give the meaning. Hallelujah. Faith comes by hearing. You know where you are? You're in the buckle of the Bible Belt. You're right in the buckle. Some of you have been saved for decades, been in church for years. It's about time to start believing God. Can you say, man, it's about time for faith without works? What is it? How dead is dead? Amen. Somebody say it. Graveyard dead. Amen. Amen. James put it in those terms. He said, faith without works, which means corresponding actions. Amen. In other words, God is saying, how are you going to act? Amen. I've made you promises. I've saved your soul. I've committed myself to never leave you. I've given you exceeding great and precious promises. Now, how are you going to act? Can you say amen? I've made you rich spiritually. Are you going to write any checks on what is yours in Jesus Christ? Can you say amen? Are you going to live poverty stricken in terms of joy until there's not enough joy to energize you? There's not enough peace to stabilize you? There's not enough hope, amen, to get you looking up instead of down all the time? There's not enough of God in your life to change your countenance? David said, he's a shield for me. Make no mistake about it, my God protects me. Make no mistake about it. I want to clarify something. The shield of faith is not just your ability to believe. It's your trust in a God who promised to protect you. Because your ability to believe can waver. But the God who promised to protect you, He never changes. On your darkest day, He's still with you. And when you go through the fire, amen, He said it won't kindle on you. Because I'm with you. And when you go through the waters, they shall not overflow you, for I am with you. Hallelujah. I thought the shield of faith was my ability to believe. Just my ability. And then when my faith wavered, where would I be? Amen. I would be disqualified from receiving from the Lord. But my faith is not in my ability to believe. My faith is in His faithfulness. And His faithfulness gives me the ability to believe when I dwell on His faithfulness. David said, the Lord is a shield for me. He's my glory. And He's something else. He's the lifter of my head. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. They taunted David when everything went wrong. When all the trouble came down, his enemies taunted him like your enemy and mine will taunt me. And they said, where is your God? Where is this God that you ascribe such faithfulness to? You're surrounded by armies. Your son is leading those armies. Your countrymen make up those armies, and they want you dead, and they want your kingdom. Where's your faithful God? And there was a point in David's life when he felt what they were saying. So this just added to what he already felt. He said, oh, that I had the wings of a dove. What would you do, David? I would fly away. Oh, there have been times if I had $100,000 in my bank account, I'd go down to the airport. When it gets really bad, I'd go down to the airport and I'd say, I do not even know where Tahiti is, but I want a ticket to Tahiti. One thing I do know is a bunch of palm trees and beaches and not many people. There must be a resort down there somewhere where I can go and find me a private beach. Amen. Forget the Corona. I don't drink. Bring me some iced tea. Fly me in some collard greens and cornbread. Can you say, man? Give me some collard greens and cornbread and a glass of iced tea down in Tahiti where I can eat it without taking Tums, where I can eat it without Maalox. Can you say, man? Preacher up talking about the peace of God, got a big old roll in his pocket. pulling out his Rolaids. Amen. All those pressures and problems, he can't even enjoy his dinner when he gets through. Amen. Listen to me. David felt it. Oh, that I had the wings of a dove. Where would you go? He said, I'd hasten my escape I would fly away to the wilderness. Somewhere way out in the middle of nowhere, I would go there. I want a ticket to nowhere so I can go there. Say it with me. He wanted a ticket to nowhere so he could go there. He said, I'd fly away to the wilderness. I'd find a place way out where there ain't nobody, where there ain't nothing. I'd find me an old limb on an old tree and I'd sit on that limb. I don't have to have a resort. Just let me sit for a while on this limb with nobody bothering me, criticizing me, cutting me down, tearing me up. I just want to sit here on my limb for a while, have some peace in my heart. Oh, we got to Jeremiah the same way. You know what Jeremiah said? Oh, you're not the first one to have struggles with doubt, not the first one to ever be down. Jeremiah said, he said, I wish I was a wayfaring man. I wish I was a man that didn't have this call of God to go talk to these hard-headed, hard-hearted people. Amen. Come on. He told them, listen. God warned him about them. He said, I'm going to send you to them, but don't you look at their face. Because you're going to see rejection, and you're going to get confused. So he had to preach like this. Look like Stevie Wonder without glasses. Can you say amen? Amen. Just so I don't see their face. Can you say amen? I just don't let me see their face. God warned me about looking them in the eye. Because what are you going to see looking back at you? God said he'll bless you if you'll get right with him. They didn't want to get right with him. God said he's going to chasten you if you don't get right with him. Same hard look. They wouldn't receive the blessing. They wasn't afraid of the chastening. So he said, yeah, real church folk. And you know what he said? He said, I wish I was a wayfaring man. He said, I wish I had a little cottage. So far out from nowhere that nobody would find it unless you got lost. But if you got lost or was wandering around out in the middle of nowhere and said, there's a little old bitty cottage over there. There'd be an old prophet sitting inside, just happy as he could be, doing absolutely nothing. Just sitting there away from all the storm of life, all the rejection and the dejection. There he would sit. Amen. And he said, maybe a wayfaring man like me, somebody out wandering in the wilderness might find it. He said, I wish I could just go in that place and dwell there. But when they put him in a dungeon for speaking the truth, he said, I couldn't hold my peace. Amen. It was as fire shut up in my bones. I had to tell them what God had to say. Whether they listen or whether they do not, I am compelled to tell them what God had to say. Before we close, Elijah, isn't it great when the fire falls? Everybody say, isn't it great when the fire falls? You ever been around when the fire falls? Your faith just kind of jumps up. Your faith has been going, oh, the fire's falling. See, it's not based on the Word of God. It's based on the fire fall. Amen. It's based on seeing the fire fall. But your personal faith, when there's no evidence of fire, isn't working. It's sleeping. 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 Awake about it, sleeping. Christ will give you light. Listen to me carefully. Elijah, he's so bold. He's so bold. He walks out in front of all of Baal's prophets. He said, I challenge you. You say your God is God. I say that's not so. My God is the true and living God. So let the God that answers by fire be proved once and for all the true and the living God. Amen. They accepted the challenge. And from daylight till dark, Baal's prophets stood and beckoned to their God. He said, you go first. They went first. And from daylight till dark, there was no answer. And then they got so frustrated and agitated, they took knives and cut themselves to try to get their God to move. They're cutting himself and blood is flowing from their arms and chest, but no response. It comes that they have to concede, but they're not convinced yet because they haven't seen anything out of his God. So you know what he says? He says, well, let the God that answers by fire be God. And the Lord spoke to his heart and said, I want you to put a sacrifice on my altar. I want you to dig a trench around it. And I want you to tell them to bring all the water they can. I want them to clearly understand what's about to happen is not the result of lightning. It's not the result of spontaneous combustion. Amen. I'm going to send my fire. And it's not going to be like any other fire. That's why I want you to... And by the way, I want you to take a barrel of that water and pour it all over the sacrifice until it's soaked with water. I want water around it like a moat. Amen. And then he prays a paragraph. A little bitty paragraph. Oh no, he didn't wail and carry on as if God isn't listening. He said, Lord, let them know at thy word I built this. And at thy word I put the sacrifice on it. And at thy word I put the water on it and the water around it. Let them know that you're the living God. And fire came out of heaven, consumed the sacrifice, and lapped up the water. The water turned to steam. Woo! See, when the fire falls, faith gets up. Doesn't it? Your faith just got up with his. His faith was at an all-time high. We bad. That's the way he was walking after that. I guarantee you. Listen. Stay right there. Don't move. He gets a letter. His faith is so high. The fire has failed. His faith is so high. He gets a letter. You know, sometimes everything would be going so good right after the fire fell and you get a letter. IRS. And it said, did you know my uncle, my wife's uncle, I went to his funeral a couple of years ago. He's a helicopter pilot in Vietnam. Served two tours in Vietnam. In between those two tours, he taught Fort Benning, Georgia, young men to fly helicopters and gunships. He was deaf in one ear because of the chatter of the helicopter and the machine gun mounted because he didn't wear his earplug. Yeah, in that kind of chatter, they'd probably be pretty... He was shot down behind enemy lines. Was there for a day and a night and rescue. Been through some hard times. But then he came to Jesus. Oh, and then the good times begin to come. The fire fell on him one night at midnight. He jumped out of bed, shook his wife, and said, I got to get right with God. And he got right with God. Hallelujah. And all things went so good. He retired from the United States military. Amen. With full retirement as a warrant officer. Amen. Then he got a job with the United States Post Office. Oh, that was good. Because now he had the income from the military. He was working at the United States Post Office, in the post office, not delivering mail. And at the end of the year working at the post office, he got a letter. You know what the letter said? Something about the military income and back then the government, it wasn't privatized. He ended up having to give them back what he made at the post office. So he worked a year for the post office for free. Yeah, that's not fun. See, just one touch from the king can change everything, but the enemy can change a few things too. This guy, when the fire is falling, the real test was when the letter come. Because now, where's God now? Where's this faith now? It has to work then, because these events can happen. Bad things happen to good people. We have an enemy, folks. You got to put on your armor. If he ain't found your zip code yet, he will find it in time. If the evil day hasn't touched you, it will. I got news for you. I listened to a young man, been saved 3 years, talking about all that God is doing. And I sat there and I appreciated everything he said, and everything he said was right. But he hadn't got the letter yet. Someday a letter's going to come to his. I don't know what news is going to be in it, but someday he's going to have to deal with some bad news as a Christian. And the real test of his faith is not what he's accomplishing while no bad news is occurring or bad things, but it's when the bad stuff hits. We need some faith to carry us through the troubled times, because we got a God who promised to take us through the troubled times. Hallelujah. Amen. So I sit there and I thought, he's a young man. I remembered when I was 3 years into ministry. You couldn't stop me. You couldn't turn me. You couldn't get me to slow down. But I remember the day when I wanted those wings. I wanted to fly away and hasten my escape, David said, from the windy storm and tempest. Oh, that I had the wings of a dove. Elijah reads that letter, and it's from a lady who runs the king, who runs the kingdom. He's a puppet. She pulls the strings. She's notorious. She's talked about in the Old Testament, and the spirit that was using her is talked about and named by her name in the book of Revelation. There was a church that had a woman with that same attitude, amen, and the Bible called her Jezebel, amen. Listen to me. He said when he got that letter, he knew the power she had in that kingdom, and all of that fire-falling faith suddenly turned to fear, and he ran into a cave. He had seen and experienced the fire fall, but he ran to a cave to hide from the circumstances that had changed. And he went into that cave and he got a terrible case of poor old me's. He said, everything's going good. The fire is falling. We're proving God. And now they're going to kill me. And he sits in there and says, I wish God would say something to me. There's a big fire outside, some kind of forest fire. And he said, God must be coming. He's looking for the fire again. God ain't in the fire out there. It's natural fire. It ain't supernatural. Your emotions, they're worthless. You get so high, honey, you can't just let your emotions lift you. You got to get something beyond your emotions, that even when you're down emotionally, you can rise up spiritually and believe God. I can write a check even when I feel poor. I heard one guy, he wasn't a Christian guy, but he said, people tell me that money won't buy happiness. He said, well, I've been poor and broke. And I mean, poor and unhappy, and rich and unhappy. And rich is better. Well, obviously, he's never been in what's called clinical depression. You get in clinical depression. Michael Jackson was clinically depressed. He couldn't sleep with Nitol or some over-the-counter. He couldn't sleep with a prescription drug. He had to have Profetol. He had to have the thing that puts you to sleep to go under major surgery. Supposed to be monitored, supposed to have oxygen there, supposed to have, I mean, he had to be put into a state of unconsciousness to go to sleep. And we call him the King of Pop, and we herald him. Listen, he was pitiful. He achieved things that we could only dream of. And the world will tell you, if you get where he is, you will have fulfillment and happiness. He was there. How many believe tonight when your head hits that pillow that most of you can go to sleep? I went 10 years without hardly being able to sleep. I went 10 years having to sleep away from my wife so I didn't keep her up all night. I went 10 years sleeping on three pillows to keep me up like this because I choked. I went 10 years of coming through nervous exhaustion while preaching under the anointing. Were you a hypocrite? No, it took more faith to stand and preach after that than it does now. Believe me. Amen. Listen to me. I laid my head down at night. My doctor told me I had ground my teeth, and for a man my age back then, he had never seen teeth wore down the way mine were because I ground them unconsciously. Every time I was asleep, I would grind my teeth because the tension never left me. It was locked in. And I would lay down, and all the lights on in the room, I couldn't sleep in the dark. I'd lay down at night. And I would close my eyes, and then it would feel like I was going unconscious because I'm running on a sleep deficit. And feeling like you're going unconscious is not like peaceably going to sleep. So you almost fight it because you say, what if something's about to happen here? And you're fighting that fear, and you're fighting that circumstance. And I remember I'd try to commit it all to God, but I would go to sleep. The tension remained. And I would finally get into a deep sleep. And in that deep sleep, while grinding my teeth, my tongue would get caught between my grinding teeth. And out of that deep sleep, the REM sleep, I would wake up with a pain that woke me out of a dead sleep. First it would seem like a dream, and then it hurt so bad it startled me into awake. And then I realized I had a mouth full of blood running out the corner of my mouth onto my pillow. I'd run to the bathroom and sop up the blood, and then I'd take cold water and keep something on my tongue that I'd almost bit through. So if you think you're going through hard times, and you think that preacher up there, he don't know what this is all about, you got another thing coming. I looked at people in wheelchairs with a smile on their face, enjoying shopping. And I looked at them and thought, look at me. I go to the gym. I ride a bicycle. I got my weight under control. I got pectorals that can dance like this. I got a bicep back then that I could, and I looked so healthy. That was me on the outside, but me on the inside was hurting. I look at somebody in a wheelchair at a mall with a smile on their face, peace in their heart. I remember saying, Lord, I'd gladly to have peace of mind. I'll sit in that chair the rest of my life. Give me that peace of mind. I don't have to have a body that can function. See, a lot of people are not crippled on the outside. Joni Erickson said that very well. She's a paraplegic. She loves God. She's a paraplegic with a handsome husband. She's a paraplegic with great kids. She's paraplegic from the neck down. And she's happy, lives her life with purpose, ministers over the radio. She's crippled on the outside, but she's not crippled on the inside. Can you say amen? And she's got peace and joy and purpose and a ministry. A lot of folk, like people here today, you're okay on the outside. You really dress up and clean up nice. You'd make a good picture today for Olin Mills. No one would guess how crippled you are and paralyzed you are on the inside. And if you don't have peace, if you had $1 billion, you're poor. Jesus said it, you're poor, you're wretched, you're miserable, you're blind, and you're naked. Oh, give the Lord a hand clap. That's Revelation chapter 3. To the richest church in the city. Can you imagine what that building looked like in that church? The richest church in Asia. Who said, instead of asking you for an offering, said, we don't need nothing. Can you imagine a church that rich that said, just keep it in your pocket. We don't need nothing. We got the, it's running over. Didn't they say they didn't need nothing? Amen. There are crippled people here on the inside. church isn't going to help you if you don't receive the challenge to take the Word of God to heart. I can counsel you till I'm blue in the face. You'll still be defeated in spite of every scripture I give you. But I can tell you, I've been where you are. And if it was, listen, I used to take the Bible at night. I'd open it to the book of Psalms. Because in the Psalms, I didn't just find promises. In the Psalms, because all these promises, but I wasn't experiencing them. But in the Psalms, I saw me in David. And the great news about it was that I saw me in David short of that sin that David committed. There was nothing that caused this. If you're thinking, well, what did you do? I didn't do anything but preach the gospel. That's all you have to do to get the devil stirred up. Fact is, you can deplete yourself doing that if you overdo it. And you can overdo it. And I remember taking and opening to a psalm and reading it, and I said, there am I. David said, oh, that I had the wings of a dove. Then I would fly away to the wilderness and be at rest and hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. But then he said, but as for me, I will trust in the Lord. I'm not going to try to escape. I'm going to find rest by trusting Him right where I am in the circumstance I'm in. I'm going to experience peace where I'm at. Because that running, there's no place you can truly go. I thought about moving somewhere out on the range and building me a home out west. Because I heard that song. Home, home on the range. Where the deer and the antelope play. Where never is heard. Never. Can you imagine? I got to get out west. Go west, young man. Horace Greeley. I heard a black DJ years ago said, get off the stove, Grandma. You're too old to be riding the range. It's a joke from back then. He also said, I may have a few rolls, but every roll's a jelly roll. He's a good guy. I like to listen to him. He made me smile. Where never is heard a discouraging word. The skies, not cloudy all day. Obviously, he doesn't understand Kansas. Remember Toto in Kansas? There's a tornado alley out there. And if you think you're gonna move to Texas and have no storms, we have hurricanes here. They got tornadoes out there. Storms are going to come. Well, I moved to California. They're going to have a big one one day. So where can we go? I like that old song. I still like it. Where could I go? Where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. Finding a friend. Who'll be with me to the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Oh, the peace we often forfeit. Oh, such needless. That's the tragedy. I didn't have to have a nervous breakdown. I didn't have to go through that. I had to face it, but there's a victory to be had. I learned something in that valley. God took me through, but I want to report to you that if you keep your focus and keep your faith, you don't have to get down that deep. Thank God for the God who will bring you out, but thank God even more for the God that will keep you from falling in. I don't want you to have to learn what I learned down there. I want you to hear the Word of God. I want you to heed its warnings. But God meant for you. God didn't mean for me to be defeated. God did not mean for me to be dejected and depressed to the point that I was in and making me sick and about to lose my ministry and my life. After a while, I thought when I go to sleep, I'll probably bite through my tongue. But step by step. I remember when my uncle died, I was walking around the Holy Church of God by myself in that book of Psalms. I said, Lord, you brought David out. You became a shield for him, his glory, and the lifter of his head. He came to God and said, when my heart, not if, but when my heart is overwhelmed within me. Amen. He looked straight up to heaven and he said, lead me. At that point, help me, Lord. Lead me to that rock that is higher than I. For the Lord has been a shelter for me. And he's been a refuge from my enemies. So, in closing, David's enemies came to him when they saw him dejected, depressed, and in trouble. And they came and they said, why don't you flee as a bird to your mountain? Because they had heard him talk like, I wish I could get out of all of this tempest. Why don't you flee as a bird to your mountain? In other words, why don't you give up on your God delivering you? Why don't you give up? You've had it. God isn't going to hear you. God isn't going to come through. And you know where he heard those discouraging words? When he was out in the wilderness, driven from his own city, hiding from his own son with an army of his own countrymen wanting to kill him. And listen, this wasn't a Philistine giant here. This was his son, Absalom. This wasn't an alien army. This is his own countrymen. Said, we don't like the way he's running things. Let's kill him. So there's a double thing here. There's the military threat. And there's the emotional hit. So you think you've been through something. You think you have the right to just brood all day and help the devil hurt you. Do you know you're aiding and abetting the enemy? Aiding and abetting. You're giving him more to use against you. Every time I complain, I can feel the pressure building. The more I complain, the more I feel the pressure building. The more I praise him, the more I feel that sweet peace, that lift in the Lord that I need. The more that I honor him, Dale, the more that I live, amen, as if God is truly on the throne. That he is the true and the living God. It's not an intellectual concept. It's a personal reality. Can you say amen? The world needs to see a church that believes this thing. Hallelujah, that gets up in the morning with no doubt God is going to see us through. That gets up and says, this is the day. I don't know what the day holds, but this is the day that the Lord has made. You know what that means? God is in charge. And the God who is in charge said he's able to make everything work together for good to them that love him. And are the called according to his purpose. You believe in a God like that? If you don't, you're going to stay down through this whole thing. You're going to stay depressed and oppressed. And you're going to have the audacity to tell somebody what God can do that don't know the Lord. You're going to look them in the eye and tell them God can solve your problem. God can bring you out. God can deliver you. You'll just come to him and trust in him. You've got to do more than talk the talk, darling. You've got to walk the walk. I'm not putting pressure on you. I'm telling you, you can't get going down that road. It's going to take you to destruction. Amen. These poor old me's, this victim attitude, amen, I had to quit seeing myself as a victim. Amen. I had to start seeing myself as a victor. I had to quit saying I can't. I caught myself the other day, wore completely out. You ever heard the term, I'm wore to a frazzle? I was somewhere beyond the frazzled part. And I wanted to vent. I wanted to tell my wife, honey, I can't keep doing this. I can't take this anymore. I can't. It was on the tip of my tongue. It was right here. And it would have made me feel better in the immediate sense to just say, I can't take it anymore. I can't do this and that and this. So I'm going to have to cut some things loose to survive. One of the things would be this church and ministry as a pastor. I don't mind sitting down before a microphone and preaching to the world. I can't see them. I can't see them. I know they're there. But I don't see them. Amen? If they don't get it, I don't feel it. If they trample underfoot everything that's been said and don't apply it to their life, I don't know it. I'm a messenger. I'm anointed to bring the message. I love to bring that message because I know if somebody gets it in a good ground heart, faith is going to come. I know if it falls in a good ground heart, fruit is going to come. I know lives will be changed, not every life, but there will be lives changed by the, because the Word of God is what? It's quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And I begin to reason with myself before I even said the I can't. And I reasoned with myself, and here's what I told myself. You won't be quitting. You've done this for 38 years. That ain't no quitter. I heard a guy preach, been in it 3 years. He's on top of the world. Top of the world, Ma! I'd like to hear him. Of course, I won't be here to hear him, but I'd like to hear him in 38 years from now. Just 35 more years. And see if it's just like it is right now. There's victory. Make no mistake about it after 38 years. I wouldn't be here this morning if there isn't victory. But it's not the victory that comes through seeing what you want to see, experiencing what you want to experience. It's keeping trust in the Lord and believing that I'm planting seed where I can't see it, even in you guys sometimes. Listen, sometimes the service is over, and I don't know if you got it or not, to be honest. Not everybody, but you know who you are. Can you say amen? I'm not going to look at anybody. Amen. I don't know if you got it or not. I have no idea because I can't tell by looking at you. And if I try to tell by looking at you, I'll say, she didn't get it. He didn't get it. I preached all of this. God has moved. Didn't happen. So what's the point? The point is, somebody's going to get it. Whew. Come on. This is for somebody today. If it ain't for everybody, just disqualify yourself from it. But there's somebody in here whose faith is going to stand up. Somebody is going to get rid of that victim attitude. Somebody is going to rise up in faith in this room. Somebody is going to see victory. Somebody's going to know the sound of joy before this thing is over. Somebody's going to see God come through because we're going to defeat doubt and fear and rise up in faith. And why does God honor faith, Brother Taylor? Because faith honors God. Without it, you cannot possibly please Him. Woo! I've sent you a message and a messenger. Who's felt your pain, felt your hurt, and knows what I can do. Listen, give heed to my word. I will bring you out. I will establish you, and I will bless you and yours, saith the Lord. Somebody give Him praise in this room today. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Believe in the Lord thy God. Thou shalt be established. Believe His prophets, so shall you prosper. That's why Paul said, I would above everything that you prosper spiritually and be in good health even as your soul prospers. Hallelujah. God wants you to know the joyful sound. God wants you to have the victory. 38 years, friend, I'm going to tell you right now, my problems and your problems, my issues and your issues, my problems and everybody else's issues. Can you say, man, how do you bear up under it? You can't say I can't. That's not how you do it. You can't vent. It was on the tip of my tongue. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit just dropped it in my heart. I can do all things. And I was on my way to do something that I felt my legs literally were weak. I felt like I felt a little faint and a little sick at the same time from fatigue. On my way to do something so demanding that I thought, I can't. I just can't keep this up. And I remember I was driving in my truck on my way, and on the tip of my tongue is, I can't. I wanted to tell somebody. I wanted to call somebody and say, I can't. I can't do this anymore. I can't. I can't. And I can hear the devil speaking to me. Amen. Where is your God? Why don't you flee to your mountain? Why don't you fly away to that place where you don't have to deal with anything or anyone? Why don't you run? Can you say, man? But suddenly the Holy Ghost dropped in my heart, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That lifted me just a little bit. But you know what lifted me up a whole lot? It's when it didn't stay in my heart. The Holy Ghost said, say it. Everybody say, say it. Woo! Don't just know it. Say it. Say it loud. Say it proud. Can you say amen? It's called holding fast your profession of faith without wavering. For he is faithful. That promise. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. I have believed. Therefore have I spoken. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto deliverance. Amen. Say it. But I don't feel it. Stop that. Say it. Do you believe it? Yes. Then say it. With all of that weakness, I said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And when I said strengthen, I felt these boys got a few miles left in them. I got happy. I got to close, but I got happy. Amen. That means I got shouting happy. Not long after being saved, we had a 60 by 12 mobile home. Thought we were in a palace, but we came out of an 8 wide. I tell you, if you think a 12 wide is narrow, live in an 8 wide for you. Dug my own septic tank. Dug it with my own hands. Got me a barrel, big old drum, and put in it. Threw some rocks in the bottom. Amen. Hooked that sucker up, covered it up. Prayed it wouldn't rain much. There wasn't no drain field. Hallelujah. Trusted God to take care of that mess. Can you say amen? Oh, Lord. Amen. I just got in, got thinking about how good God had been to me. I picked up an old 33 RPM record. Put it on. It was the choir singing. I've been running for Jesus a long time, and I'm not tired yet. I'm not there yet, but I'm on my way, and I'm not tired yet. I'm not tired yet. No, I'm not tired yet. And I felt that I'm not tired yet come all over me. Can you say, man, been running for Jesus a long time? I know it's an effort to talk, amen, but just try it one more time. I've been running for Jesus a long time. I know you won't with everything in you say you've had it. You can't take no more and you wore completely out. But I want you to do something by faith today. One thing before we leave by faith. I've been running for Jesus a long time. And listen to me. Oh, listen to me. I can. I can. I can. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah! 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 So David said, I will say of the Lord. Say it with me, I will say of the Lord. He is my shield. He is my buckler. Hallelujah. Whom shall I fear? Glory be to God. I will say of the Lord. Shalabakosandarabasita. Faith begins to be made active when you say it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe if I'd have found somebody that would sympathize with me, I wouldn't be standing in this pulpit this morning. Amen. I'm serious. I wouldn't be here. 1,700 ministers are going to leave the pulpit every 30 days in America, not around the world. It's right here. 1,700 pastors are an endangered species. Their marriages are under the gun. The church becomes the mistress, even if there's no other woman involved. Jim Baker said, my church, way before this 15 minutes of sin with this secretary, he said, the church, my vision, my ministry, became my mistress. Jimmy Swaggart, if he had a healthy marriage, wouldn't have went off to give in to temptation down in Louisiana. David Jeremiah looked out at married people, and he'd been teaching theologically about it, and then he got real practical. He said, if you want to overcome temptation, keep it hot at home. And then he blushed because it's just not his way of talking. But we all understand what he's saying. If you don't keep the romance in your marriage, amen, there's going to be a deficit building. And somebody handpicked by the devil is going to come along to fill that space that's supposed to be filled by the... You're not even supposed to fast without mutually agreed. And you're never supposed to use sex as a weapon. Either way, can you say amen? Amen. The husband doesn't have control of his body, the wife. And the wife has no control. If you got control, you better give it up if you want to be a Christian woman. Can you say amen? Because you're setting your husband up for temptation. And then when he's tempted, you're going to come down on him. And when she's tempted, you're going to come down on her. Honey, if it's all right in the home, you can eliminate that weapon from the devil. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Just a little teaching to quit off on this morning. Can you say amen? Defraud not one another. Amen. Intimacy, except in mutually agreed times of prayer and fasting, and then immediately come together again, lest what? Lest the devil tempt you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It's better to marry than to burn. If you got a problem in this area, Paul said, for heaven's sakes, pray God give you somebody. If you got the gift of singleness and you don't have a problem, then don't pray that way. Leave him alone. He knows what he needs. We're all trying to set Mike up because we can't stand to see him carefree. Three stooges were taking a census in this one episode. Misery loves company. Sean's saying that by his wife and she's laughing. Wait till he gets home. Pray for Sean. Pray for Sean. Amen. Listen to me. Listen to me. Three stooges are taking a census. They knock on the door. A man comes to the door and they look him in the eye and they got their pad out. They say, are you married or are you happy? I believe you can actually be happily married. But it's not the happily ever after storybook stuff. It's something that comes when two people decide, no matter what happens, we're going to trust the Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, now that we've warmed up to the subject, no. We didn't get to read all of Psalm 12, but it's talking about a righteous man whose heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. Elijah heard a wind storm. It's not in the wind. The Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost like a mighty rushing wind. But when you're in that cave, that wind is probably not what's going to fall on. Great fire outside. I smell the smoke. I see the flames. God must be out there. He wasn't in the fire. He wasn't in the wind. He sat down back in the darkness. And here's what you need to hear today inside your spirit. A still, small, just like the one that said, "See, I can do all things." If you're going to hear a still, small voice, you're going to have to be still and know that He is God. Can you say, man, if you're going to hear a still, small voice, you're going to have to, in your time of prayer, you're going to have to spend more time listening instead of just making petitions. Amen? A still, small voice came and said, "I'm so sorry. You stood up for me. I know they're trying to kill you. You poor, pitiful thing. Bless your poor old heart. Oh, when they kill you, I'll take you home. And I just love you so much for standing up for me like that. They're going to find you and drag you out of here. I see them coming. Just what I tell you. But I love you, man." Oh, Lord. Everybody say, "Oh, Lord." You know what he said in that still, small voice? "What are you doing here?" What? I wanted pity. I wanted petting. "What are you doing here?" When the fire was falling, you were telling everybody about your God. You get a threat, you forget all of that. "What are you doing here?" Elijah got up, shook himself, come walking. He hadn't eaten. He's going to die of starvation. Devil didn't have to kill him. He's killing himself. Amen. He's going to die of starvation. He stumbled outside that cave. And there's a man out there, an angel. And he has a meal prepared in heaven for that man. And he says, "Eat it." He woofs it down. And he went on the strength of that one meal 40 days. And inside that cave, you will see scribbled on the wall on his way out, "Elijah was here." This is Christian victory. Was here. Hallelujah. And you know something? I believe if you look real close, you could see Sean's name. All the way from then to now. I believe if you went in that cave this morning, you'd see Sean was here. Can I get a witness from Sean? Now, if you're still there, don't tell me. You wonder how many want it to change to "was here" instead of "lives here." You don't want it to say "Sean lives here." You want it to say "Sean was here." You can't keep the bird from flying over your head, but you can keep him from making a nest in your hair. Amen? I can do that. He can fly all he wants, but when he sits on my head, he got trouble. Amen. Hallelujah. I got some fight left in me, Brother Taylor. Glory be to God. Amen. Mike's been in that cave before. He was there. Robert was there. Jeremiah was there. The only person who wasn't ever in there was Jesus. Paul was there. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, of the trouble we experienced in Asia, how we were pressed beyond measure, despaired of life itself. Paul was there. But he didn't stay there and he didn't live there. Can you say, man? And there's a lot of people that have been there and some people that are in there. But God is calling you out of there. And he's not calling you by petting you, but by challenging you and saying, "This is not how people of the covenant live. This is not how people of faith live." Can you say, man, there is victory for you in spite of the threats and the circumstances in your life. Will you stand to your feet today? Hallelujah. What a gracious and mighty God that we serve. Did you get anything out of this service today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's talk about Jesus. Amen. Well, I'm going to keep preaching as if everybody in here is going to take it to heart. I'm going to keep preaching as if everybody in here is going to bring 30, 60, and 100 fold. If you decide to stay in the cave, I love you. I will show you compassion and try to reach out to you. But I will not live in that cave with you. I've been there. It will kill me and it won't help you. How many know if the man that's throwing you the rope climbs down in the hole with you, you're both going to die in that hole? Somebody needs to stay out on top so they can throw a rope to somebody else. And I'm throwing you a rope today that's a three-stranded cord. Hallelujah. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost verify. It's not easily broken, friend. Only you can break it. Nothing else can. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. How many believe that God can take you through with a year coming up, that we're going to see things happen, that it's going to require the supernatural, but God is up to the task, that He can do that in your life, in your family, in your circumstance? Some of you will not raise your hand. That's okay. Stay in the cave. I love you. I love you, but I can't push you, prod you. You're going to have to at some point get sick and tired of being sick and tired. Quit sick and tired of lying to other people and telling them what your God can do. Can you say amen? Get sick and tired of that lie. Come on. Don't lie to somebody and tell them what God can do. Unless you're willing to stand out on His word and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you for this thing. Because God does not fail. He takes His time and He moves in His ways. But He does not fail. You say, well, He failed me. No. Are you still breathing? How many still breathing? Almost everyone. Some people are not even breathing. Amen. I'd give you CPR, but it was a man. It was a man, and it would be worse if it was a woman, wouldn't it? Well, I can't give CPR to anybody. Listen to me. Are you breathing? Check it and see. Listen. Then there's still time for God to do it. You ain't dead yet. He hadn't failed you yet. You still got life. How many got limbs? You still got limbs. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You still got your loved ones around you. Come on, they're not dead in a car crash. Be thankful. Give God some glory this morning. God is still on the throne. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I cannot force feed your children. I can be an example to the flock. Admit my failures and shortcomings. But Lord, I cannot endorse. I cannot not object to fear and doubt and unbelief that would choke your word, that would destroy the vision, that will allow the enemy to tear down what you have so wonderfully began to build up. I pray that your people will take heart today, that they will take courage, and they will trade their ashes for beauty. They're mourning for the oil of joy. And their heaviness for the garment of praise. That we might be called the planting of the Lord, the people He established by covenant. Heal every marriage that is broken, every relationship that is broken, every heart that is broken. And lift us up above these shadows of this old fallen world today. Let us taste the power of the world to come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many want this church to have a revival? How many want to let God have His way so we can? Don't wait for it. Begin it. Let it begin with you. Don't look across the aisle. Let it start with you. You come in with a word of encouragement. You holler out with an amen when the word of God is true. You stand up and shout when there's a victory song. Hallelujah. And let people see you revived. It may inspire them. Can you say amen? Everybody's waiting on them. It's their responsibility. No, darling, it's mine and it's yours. I don't want this church to fail. I don't want it to stagnate. I don't want what God does here on Sunday to go unresponded to. Because I need what God is saying right now.
And I need what God is doing right now. And I don't want to go to a church full of people without a fresh move of God to challenge me. I'd rather be here with you guys than sitting in a church with the biggest building program going on and people just walking in and walking out unchallenged and unchanged, putting on their game face for Sunday, but living in defeat the rest of the week. That is not what God wants. That doesn't mean that we're not supposed to grow. We are. Amen. But we're supposed to grow with victory and sustain it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Did I give you anything? Let's rejoice before we go home. This is a go-home song, but it's a good song. And I pray that this week will be different for you. How many want me to keep preaching the gospel? Amen. Do you want me to stay here? And I could retire. I'm going on 65. I paid my dues. I proved myself. I'm no quitter. Amen. I'm here because God called me. Amen. I'm a messenger, an oracle. Hallelujah. And I would have loved when I was going through it to hear what you just heard this morning. Praise God. Amen. Stretch your hand this way. God is going to move in this young man's life. He's not done with this guy. This guy is like a man surrounded. He's like Custer right now. Amen. His enemies are all around him and they are in force today. But his God is above him and is going before him. And I believe God is going to do something spectacular. I believe God is ready to do things on the level of the Red Sea party. I believe that same God exists today. And I believe if it takes that kind of miracle to deliver us, I believe our God is up to it. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't believe in an old, feeble, weak God, amen, that's grown old, amen, that his ears dull of hearing. I believe the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is here today. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Father, Father, show us your glory. Hallelujah. Restore everything the enemy has come to steal from us. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. We've caught the thief today. We're going to go beyond restoration and ask you, Lord, for seven times. In the name of Jesus Christ, make a way where there seems to be none. For the glory of God. And let everybody who sees it know this is the God who answers by fire. Hallelujah. 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 For the glory of God. Amen. Give God a praise offering today. Let's praise Him today.